This is The Think Tank, talking about the major economic, political, and social issues of the week on the Voice of Arizona, News Talk 92.3 KTAR. Here's Dr. Mike O'Neill and Mike Russell.
We're here to talk about independent voters. There's actually more of those in Arizona than there are more of those than there are Democrats, and soon to be, if trend lines continue, more independents than there are Republicans as well. In other
words,
it will be the number one voting group.
Yes.
But not represented in the legislature. Our guest is Jackie Sallet. She is president and founder of a group called IndependentVoting.org. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
To cut to the chase, you don't think independent voters are getting a fair shake in the system. Doesn't it say in the Constitution we get two parties?
Actually, the Constitution doesn't mention parties at all, now that you bring it up. No, I think that independent voters, who are now about 42% of the country, enjoy a second-class status. In many, many different ways, and I think many people feel, independents among them, of course, but many other people as well feel that that needs to change.
Well, don't a lot of people think that they're the ones, the chosen ones, almost? It seems as if the Republicans think they have their base in the can, Democrats think they have their base in the can. Everybody's pining towards the independent. Are we off in that?
There is a lot of interest in the independent vote, but I would say that the way that Democrats and Republicans relate to independents is as voters who haven't made up their mind, who don't really stand for anything, who swing one way or the other without any definition or meaning. I think that is really a very, very serious misunderstanding of who independents are. I think independents are independents for a reason, and I think that the political forces in Arizona and nationally who come to understand that are going to be able to build some very important bridges and coalitions.
So who are the independents? What do they look like?
Well, they look like America. They are a very, very diverse community or constituency. It's actually a very multiracial, multigenerational, multi-ideological movement or constituency. But what brings people together as independents, and this is so interesting and so challenging from a political and an organizing point of view, which is where I come at this from, what's so interesting is that independents share a common dislike with the rise of partisanship, with the extent to which the parties have positioned themselves as virtual superpowers in the political arena and have, you know, acquired for themselves control over the process in which they themselves are supposed to be competing, the parties, that is. So I think when somebody becomes an independent, and you know, the laws that govern the electoral process vary from state to state, as you well know, but when someone becomes an independent, they're making a statement about the kind of voter they want to be, about the kind of political process they want to have, and to some degree, they are rejecting the control and the mastery that the political parties have over policymaking in this country.
You know, that's a nice portrait of independence, but in Arizona, we do allow independents to vote in primaries, for example, but they don't.
Right, yeah. I think they feel that the party primary is largely a setup and a culture which is hostile to independents, which doesn't relate to the world of independent voters. Most candidates, when they run for political office, orient towards what they call, you know, the prime voter, the hardcore constituency of the base of whatever their political party is. And so I think that has really fed into a culture of disengagement and alienation. The way that you're going to have to deal with that problem, and it is a problem, you're quite correct to point it out, is you're really going to have to change the primary system so that there are no longer party primaries that independents are or aren't allowed to vote in. Rather, what you need to have is what I sometimes call public primaries, where parties participate, candidates participate, but the entire platform is a public platform, and all voters, regardless of how they are or aren't affiliated politically, get to participate at every stage of the process. That's really the direction I think we're going to have to go in.
That sounds like the top two system that we voted on here last time around.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different versions of the top two system, and Arizona has, you know, been in the forefront, really, of trying to project these kinds of reforms. I mean, after all, the open primary system that you do have came about because the voters chose to enact it in the late 90s, and not because the legislature or the politicians wanted it.
All of the electoral reforms that have been passed in this state, every one of them has been initiative.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that is just an indicator of the rift, if you will, between where the people are at and where the politicians are at. The problem comes in because the politicians have so much control over the political process that the people can't access everything that they should be able to access in the electoral and the governmental system. So, yeah, the top two system is becoming more and more appealing. It's controversial. The voters in California voted it up a couple of years ago, and the new system is really kind of throwing a wrench into the conventional wisdom. It's producing new political coalitions. It's forcing candidates to campaign to the entire electorate during every phase of their campaign. It's creating unusual outcomes, but most of all, I think it's just really breaking down the extent to which the parties and party discipline were able to affect and determine the outcome of elections largely before they even took place.
So a short answer I need, because we're going to go to break, but you think that the evidence is that the top two system is working in California?
I do, very much so. Yes, I think it is.
I want to get back to it because I want to talk about the top two system when we come back, because I want to define it first so our listeners know exactly what the top two system is, because I am a fan of it, but I want to look at the dark side as well. I want to see what the good, the bad, and the ugly of the top two system is, and I want to talk about what the end game is. Are Republicans and Democrats looking to make the I's R&Ds, or are they looking to move towards the I center? We're going to get to that next right here in the Think Tank on News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
You're listening to The Think Tank on the Voice of Arizona. News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
We are here with Jackie Sallet, president of independentvoting.org. In an abbreviated Think Tank this week, we're going to hockey in a few minutes. In the last segment, I facetiously referenced the role of two parties in the U.S. Constitution. And not only is it not there, but in fact, Michael, do you know what the George Washington's farewell address dealt with?
I would guess it would be a party system.
Dangers of parties.
See how we do
dangers
it?
Dangers of parties. He was against the formation of parties. He thought that they were destructive to democracy. So that's a little bit of kind of the history. Now, we've forgotten that part of the history. And in fact, lots of people think two parties are somehow ensconced in the Constitution, and certainly it's ensconced in our system by tradition, if not by law. Jackie, independents right now don't seem to get represented much of anywhere.
They don't. Independents are not represented for the most part on all of the, you know, bodies that regulate the election process, from the federal level down to the most local level. They're really related to as not real voters, or, you know, not a consequential part of the electoral universe. When, you know, as we've been talking about already, they're 42% of the country nationally. In Arizona, they're really on the verge of becoming the plurality constituency of voters. That tells you something about how the public feels about the parties and about the way they're operating, about gridlock in Congress, about partisan dysfunction, and really, I think, just a sense that when push comes to shove, the parties and the politicians who are associated with the parties put the interests of the party ahead of the interests of the community and constituency that they were elected to represent. And that friction, that contradiction, that collision is more and more rising to the surface and driving people to become independent. independents. And in turn, those independents are saying, hey, we want to be a full part of the political process. We are bona fide voters. We are Americans. We are qualified to vote. And we don't think that our right to participate should be restricted by the fact that we've decided that we don't want to join a political party.
Observation about how it actually works, 90% of the legislative and congressional seats in this country, the legislative seats in Arizona, 90% of the congressional seats in this country have a registration that's sufficiently lopsided in favor of one party or another that by the time you vote in November, the outcome's predetermined. And in effect, not only do the independent votes not count, but the Democratic and Republican votes don't count very much. The exception is 10% of the seats where it's pretty close to balanced. And in those cases, and we have three of those in the state of Arizona, both parties do indeed play to the independents, do they not?
They do in districts where they think they can be competitive or when they're trying to chip away at the control that the other party has. But let me just say that in and of itself does not represent what I would call an embrace or an acknowledgement of the legitimacy of the claims that independents are making. Because, you know, a lot of these politicians, what they're mainly interested in doing is winning elections or winning re-election. And from their vantage point, they're not looking to address the more fundamental questions or issues or concerns that independents are raising that have to do with the nature and the structure of the political process itself. Or put another way, they don't want to relate to independents as independents. They want to relate to independents as voters who are out there, who are up for grabs. The new thing that's happening, which is changing that equation, is that independents are becoming organized. This is what we do at a national level through my organization, independentvoting.org. We have affiliates in 40 states, and this is exactly the kind of thing that we work to do. It's not just about raising public awareness, but it's about leveraging the power that independent voters have to require partisan politicians to begin to address the concerns that this excluded plurality of the American public have. And as you've mentioned already in the show, it's not just independents who feel this way, but rank-and-file Democrats and Republicans and also people who are allied with third parties are deeply concerned about the destruction of the quality and character of American democracy, and people want to do something about this. Look, we have a lot of issues that we're dealing with, economically speaking, socially speaking, culturally speaking, at the policy level. And I think more and more people are coming to see that unless the process itself is wholesome, participatory, and democratic, that the outcome can't be a sufficient response to the problems that we face.
I get
the kind of process you have affects the quality of the outcome.
I get it in terms of what you're saying. What I don't see is how you get there, because just to use a case in point, if I'm a typical, say, Republican in the state of Arizona, I use Republicans because they're in the majority here, they're the party that matters. I got a district that's 60-40 Republican. The only people I have to worry about in order to get reelected are the tiny sliver of Republicans who vote in the Republican primary. I don't have to worry about anybody else. Conversely, for the Democrat in a Democratic district.
Sure, yeah. Though presumably Americans didn't fight a revolution to make it the Democratic process as easy as possible for politicians to get reelected. I mean, that's not what the fundamental premise of this country is. And in fact, if you shift the system to, for example, a nonpartisan, you know, top two system, you actually disincentivize that kind of campaigning. See, part of the problem, look, I'm not here to cast every politician as, you know, corrupt or careerist or evil or anything like that. I think that the way that the system is structured incentivizes that kind of narrow political orientation. But that is desperately hurting our country. It is desperately crippling our policy-making process. We're at a point in the history of this country where we need to explore innovation. We need to bring new approaches into economic development, social development, a million different issues, education, you know, job development, all of these concerns that, you know, that people live with on a day-to-day basis. But we can't develop the solutions and the approaches that are necessary when the political tunnel is so narrow and precludes any kind of new conversations or new ideas or new coalitions from forming.
Again, now, I get what you're saying about what the need is. What I don't see is how you get from here to there, given that the rules of the game, the deck is kind of stacked.
Well, it's a very tough fight, and that's really what the independent movement is all about. I mean, you know, recently when the effort was made to, you know, pass this kind of initiative in Arizona, you saw some really interesting things, like a coalition between the League of Women Voters and Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who couldn't be on more opposite ends of the spectrum, coming together to try to stop the proposition from getting on the ballot and even giving the voters an opportunity to make their own decision on it. The stakeholders on the side of the status quo, though ideologically diverse, are enormously entrenched and enormously powerful. And it is going to take the development of a movement. It's not just going to be about one referendum or one election, though those, you know, can produce important results like what happened in California. But I've been involved in, you know, efforts that have failed to do this over the last 5 or 10 years in Oregon, in New York City, the effort in Arizona, and, you know, in other places as well. This is a long road battle, but it really is about the heart and soul of American democracy. And I think that independent voters, because of who they are and what they perceive and experience about the political system, are in the forefront of the kind of change that is going to be necessary to address these concerns.
You've had some success in California. You've been successful anywhere else?
California has been the main battleground where we've been successful. Washington State also has a top two system, and it has a long history of, you know, open primaries and other systems that allow the entire electorate to participate. But here's the bottom line. I think the bottom line is that we need to have voting systems in which all voters get to participate in a meaningful way at every stage of the process and are not required to join any political organization as a precondition for participation. If we work with that principle, which to me seems fundamental to what our democracy is about, not to mention what our Constitution says, then I think we will be able to recreate and re-engineer a political system that is responsive to what's actually going on in this country.
Jackie Sellett, president and founder of independentvoting.org, thank you so much for joining us today. We wish you the best of luck.
Well, thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you. Doc, this is obviously a huge topic. We're going to cover it more next week as well. This is a short show for us. We got to get out of here. Thanks for being with us, folks. On behalf of Dr. Mike O'Neill, I'm Mike Russell, right here on the Think Tank, News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
Catch most of that?
Yeah, well, cut.